Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Outta Vegas. Golf with the Masters, where Tiger Woods, a familiar sight, putting on a nether green jacket on Sunday, something we didn't think we'd see again. And here's how it sounded, courtesy of CBS.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
And there it was, Jim Nance announcing Tiger Woods the winner in Augusta. RJ, what is the Vegas takeaway on what we saw Sunday?
You know, I want to go around the round table and get the human reaction. One of the things we're really strict on Straight Out of Vegas, just because you're here doesn't mean you're an expert at everything. Right? I'm an avid moviegoer. I'm not a professional movie critic. So I might share my thoughts as a human. I'm not going to share them from the platform of expertise, of Voice of Vegas, whatever. I think that's one of the big problems ESPN got into with the political stuff. Everyone, I think, or most people, except other people, have a right to their political opinions. The question is, are you doing that as a human being, or are you doing that as a expert for company XYZ, or someone up in on a platform with the lights on them from company XYZ? So Fez, let's take away the wise guy hat for a minute. As a human who's got to be feeling your mortality as you're moving briskly towards 60, how'd you react?
I reacted differently than I ever do, RJ. Normally, I am Mr. Spock. I'm a mercenary. Did my team win that I bet on? I changed the channel. I don't care about the championship and who gets the cup or any of that. But I was actually moved. I actually watched the celebration afterwards, and I never, ever do that.
And what emotion were you having?
Oh, I saw Tiger hug his little boy, and I have a little boy, and I just think, what a wonderful story, you know, the generations passing by here.
Maybe you should make this like a new tradition, is every time you win over $25,000 on an individual bet, you bring your boy down to cash the ticket with you. You know, maybe you get a few of those smoke, you know, like, remember Larry Hagman on Dallas way back when he quit smoking and he sold these deals where you could pull it out and blow smoke in someone's face. You could like have them protected. I mean, let's just put that in the back pocket. Fezzik's little boy cashing tickets. I think there'd be a real father-son connection.
He's only a couple years away from when he can start helping me with my Excel spreadsheets.
Well, let's be honest. That started already. All right, next up, Brad Powers.
I cried.
You cried?
Yeah, I cried.
Wow.
Especially when they went to the montage of when Tiger first won the Masters in 97, hugging his dad. And then they had it queued up for, you know, the little montage, him hugging his son. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to admit it. I cried.
This is a little too human, I think. I'm guessing Jonas didn't cry.
No, I was happy for Tiger Woods, but always a little bit cautious in my celebration.
Now, that's a tease there. In what way?
Guy in his 40s, been bad for a long time, goes from 1,200th in the world. Now he's winning the Masters.
Now, when you say been bad, we're talking about on the golf course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, come on, we can always keep it on the golf course. I think we've been burned enough in sports by some great, great achievements that I'm just going to, I hope that it's all on the up and up, but I'm just a little bit cautious when it comes to my celebration.
You know, you are the first person I've heard say this. Has anyone else heard this discussed?
No. Mm-mm.
So really what we're saying, Jonas is the most cynical person on radio. I mean, because I didn't even think of it. I got to be honest, I'm a little bit more not skeptical of the achievement, but I'm a little bit more like, why do people feel so strongly about this? Because a lot of people do. And has it been earned? And how much of it is about ourselves? Now, let's be honest about something. Everybody is a day closer to death. Today is the youngest you're ever going to be again. All right, those are facts. So once you graduate high school, even lot of times college kids are, they lament high school. Like, oh, remember how nice it was back in the day? They're 20 years old, lamenting high school. I can promise you this, when you're 48 like me, the idea of turning 30 is problematic, is laughable. You'd be like, I'd love to be 30. Well, one day, hopefully when I'm 68, I'm going to say, man, I'd love to be 48. So we all have that in us. And we all love the things that were big in our prime. When have we ever heard someone say, boy, the music is so much better today than it was when I was in high school? Have you ever heard that said?
No.
Right? Because the music today is what you might hear for 5 minutes as you're flipping through the stations on the way to drop your kids off at school. Or maybe when you're on the treadmill or whatever, you listen to this or that. But it's usually your old music. Why? Because that was the soundtrack of your youth. So for most people in these age groups here, Fez again, we'll call it generously mid-50s, right?
55, come on.
Brad, mid-30s.
35, yep.
Jonas, unknown. It looks like he dyes his hair, but but his face is very youthful.
19.
How old are you, Jonas?
19. We'll go with 19. Ah,
no, seriously. How old are you? I'm guessing 34.
Seven.
See?
Yeah.
Looks good. He's healthy. He's a good eater. So we've got 48 for myself. I think we all agree we were all a little bit more in our primes, at least in some ways, 10 years ago. Right? So, Tiger, it feels like things are the way they're supposed to be. I felt the same thing in 86. I was only 16 years old when Nicholas won. Because I grew up, Ohio State was a couple hours away. He was a hero to Buckeye fans. And it felt like, oh, the old man got one. And I'm 16 years old. So I think we all, even if you're, 78 today, you were more in your prime 10 years ago. So the idea that we can stop the inevitable erosion of everything is when something from the past makes a statement today. And you listen to Colin, and I thought Colin had one of his most emotional and passionate intros to any show I've heard in years for him about how much this meant to him. And then you think about it. And to me, genuine feelings in any medium, radio, whatever, are a wonderful thing. I think whenever Colin shares those, we all benefit. But really, what has this guy done in the last 10 years beyond golf? Meaning, do we have any real idea? Jonas is the skeptic, perhaps, when it comes to PEDs, or who knows, allegedly. Jonas Knox, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, is for the lawyers out there. But what's the longest romantic relationship Tiger's had since his divorce? Do we have any idea? Because let's be candid, if Tiger was caught doing some of the things he did in the past, there'd be some special on Oprah about it's an addiction or it's a relapse. And we know it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, so I'll say I'm not sure about this. I mean, what was it? 2 years ago, he was found asleep in a car and there was some alleged, Jonas, you're probably up on this. What was going on?
There was no alcohol, but it was pills. And it was said that he had an addiction to painkillers and whatnot. And there was like five different in his system at that time. He thought he was in California, but he was in Florida. It's an easy mistake, like the other side of the country.
So well, that's like Kramer.
Yeah.
Kramer was leaving for California. They said, when you leaving? He goes, in my mind, I'm already there. But let's be honest for a second. I'm not one at all to be a social, wow. But if it were a poor guy with heroin in his pocket, where would he be right now? And how different is that than having a bunch of pain pills? And I don't know anything about were they actually prescribed or not. I'm guessing they were, because rich people who like drugs just get them prescribed usually. Elvis had a doctor literally travel with him. So if he needed something, it was there. He had the script book right there. And does that mean that we shouldn't marvel at the sporting accomplishment? No, we should. In fact, if anything, that makes the sporting accomplishment even more impressive. If somehow, some way, there was some problem with opioids and heroin or whatever, that kind of drug, downers, 2 years ago, and now you're the best golfer in the world, kudos. But boy, oh boy, it feels like it's like been this 10-year track back from this moment of sin. But boy, I don't know what the heck's happened in these 10 years. I have no idea how many waitresses out of Perkins has been, he pulled out. I don't know. Do you, Jonas?
I don't know anything about Perkins. I've never been to a Perkins. Not my
idea. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. And to me, what's funny is no one cares. If Tiger meant something to you, it was no different than Superman meaning something to you or some other icon. Like, I have no idea, if you went through West Virginia and Ohio in the 70s when I was a kid, you would still see JFK pictures up, like, in the living room. Like, a lot of Catholic families especially just really love JFK. They didn't know anything about JFK. JFK could have been made up. It's like Christopher on The Sopranos. They were talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. He goes, that was real? I thought that was a movie. And it's like, really? What's the difference? It's all passed down legend that we had nothing to do with and we don't know anything about. And it's just that icon. Tiger's an icon to me for a lot of people because of when he had his amazing accomplishments 10 plus years ago, and we love the idea of returning to that. But to act like we know any more than that, I think is a mistake. It doesn't mean we can't appreciate it for being an icon that he is. I'm just not sure he deserves it to be much more than that. Thoughts, Fez? Seems like you want to push back.
Not at all. Tiger's imperfect, and I think that makes for him to be very attractive to us, because let's face it, most of us are imperfect. We do have our flaws. So when we see someone that isn't perfect but who's real out there and all of his other competitors...
Tiger is real? I think he's about the least real athlete we've seen.
I disagree. Tiger's throwing temper tantrums on the course. He's throwing clubs as opposed to
opponents. I think Tiger has probably... If you look at the true, if somehow we could find out the true truth versus Tiger, what he's allowed us to see, I think he's maximized that distance. Has he always been able to keep it where we don't see any truth? No. He is so frustrated, you're going to see a club fly. He needed those pills so much that he was, whatever went on. But I think that the whole Nike machine and many, many PR agents working around the clock have tried to shield us from that truth as much as possible. So, yeah, he's imperfect, but probably more so than most of the average people on the street. So, to me, it's like I almost think if that's the case, how much do you look up to him? Or how much do you marvel at the fact he's a great athlete, but nothing more?
I don't think I look up to him, but... I like him. I don't know. I can't explain why. And like I said, just because I think.
And that's why he's an icon. He's accomplished that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fez, pregame.com research, Mackie headed this one up. All 8 playoff games this weekend went under the total. Now, what's the total? How many points team A? Team B, combine them. Did it go over or under? 8 games go under by 17 points per game. Think about that. Vegas is always right. Well, they were wrong by 17 points per game. The average total for the weekend games, 219. The point score, 202. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, very interesting. A lot of things going on, RJ. Let's start with 2019 NBA scoring regular season. We saw an unprecedented high scoring year. The average scoring in the league this year was 222 points.
Which is up 10 points from just last season.
Exactly right. So why did scoring explode? Well, a big reason for that was this freedom of movement that for the defense, you can't clutch, you can't hold, you can't do any of that. And I think during the regular season, it's such a long season, a lot of NBA players just said, you know what? I just can't even try. I can't even put an arm on my guy I'm guarding. But now it's the playoffs. And playoff basketball, historically, you've been allowed to do that. So I think what happened here is that we've seen playoff basketball, there being a little less freedom of movement, and the players realizing that they can go back to not completely clutching, but going ahead and putting an arm bar on someone and not getting called immediately with a whistle.
Now that is High IQ Radio, Steve Fezzik. So here's the question. Whenever there's a trend, is it repeatable? Does it tend to continue? Right? So oftentimes, trends are random. If you flip a coin enough, you're going to get 7 straight heads, 8 straight heads. How much adjustment? So let's look at these game one, and maybe we just do this on the fly if you haven't thought about it. Let's look at tonight. So we got 2 game twos. In general, they're being played, or specifically, at the same venue. Same teams, same venue. In theory, there could have been an injury. In theory, you know, you could say the games are a little different. But these totals should be about the same, right?
Yeah, and we've actually seen one big correction and one non-adjustment.
All right, so let's talk about it. So I want to see if your assumptions are correct. You're saying the whole world was wrong about the way the playoffs were going to be played. They thought it was going to be more of the same of this record-breaking regular season scoring, but you're saying, oh, no, refs called the game differently, and thus there's going to be a significant decrease in scoring. If you're correct, we should be looking at the unders unless the market adjusts significantly. So tell me about the adjustment.
And for the most part, the markets have adjusted significantly on average by about 2.5 points per game.
Hold on. If it goes under by 17 and they adjust by 2 points, doesn't seem like enough.
May not be enough. So this Brooklyn.
Well, do you think it's enough?
I actually think it's enough, and here's why. There was a lot of blowouts, and I saw a whole lot of games that could have gone over, probably should have gone over, but didn't because of very low-scoring fourth quarters.
So you're saying both teams know who's going to win. They know they get a next game. They take the air out of the ball. Let's get on to that next game.
Yeah, like the Clippers, Golden State, the total was 234 game one. It's still 234 game two, and that game looked to be heading over, and then the scoring just ceased in the fourth quarter game one.
So what you're saying is there's two reasons for the extreme low scoring. One is what you said, refs are letting them play a little bit, benefit defense in contrast to the regular season, benefit offense in that case. And number two, some of these, this 8-0 is a little deceiving because of this reason or that reason. And if it was only 6-2 towards the under, we wouldn't be so, oh my gosh, things are fundamentally so different. So you think the numbers of that 8-game sample are a little extreme, but there is a reason directionally you look for less scoring.
Correct, yes.
All right, well, listen, we got through that. And really, I really believe this is something only Vegas can do. You see that scoring go down. A guy like Fezzik's going to be as knowledgeable as anybody about the reason why.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We have a doubleheader in Major League Baseball on ESPN. First pitch in a little over 10 minutes from now. It is the Mets at the Phillies. Right now, Philadelphia, a slight favorite on pregame.com.
Okay, Fez, we want the half of our audience that bets. They might want to pick this game. The half that doesn't bet, they want to know what they need to know to watch it. What do we need to know?
I lean to Philadelphia here, and it's all about it being a really bad spot here for the Mets. The Mets had to play that Sunday night game. Now, RJ, these players hate playing the Sunday night game in baseball because if you're the road team, then you have to travel oftentimes on Monday to another road game. Now, normally you get to play in the day when you travel, not if you're the Sunday night team. And because of that, the Mets have to travel from Atlanta to Philadelphia. Short turnaround, bad spot.
Okay, now, is this – we always have to ask the question – is this something the market accounts for properly? Or do you think it's just mispriced week after week?
I think it's mispriced week after week, and I was ready to bet Philly, but it's just a lean, RJ. And the reason being is Philly had to play a 14-inning game at Florida yesterday, so they went long also.
Now, that's interesting. In basketball, two tired teams tend towards the over because it takes more energy to play defense. If you have two tired teams in baseball, what do you see?
I would look more towards the under because oftentimes the pitcher's already in that city.
Oh, that's a good point. So the pitcher, if anything, under first five and a half in. Because if you went into extra innings, maybe the bullpen's depleted.
And shot, maybe take the pens out of it, play first five under.
Wow, the sausage being made, baby.
Guys, at 10 Eastern time, Clayton Kershaw makes his season debut for the Dodgers. They host the Cincinnati Reds. And right now, the Dodgers are a minus 166 favorite on pregame.com.
Now, I've got a trend in this game Fezzik doesn't know about. I'm not going to tell you. I'm hoping you're on the opposite side so I can attack.
Well, I'm on the total. I'm going under 7.5, RJ. It's all about both teams struggling to score runs. The Dodgers hitters should struggle with the Reds pitcher Castillo. Castillo's been great year to date. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Fezzik, he's only pitched 3 games so far, small sample size. But I went back at the end of last year in September, Castillo was great in September as well. So the Dodgers hitters should struggle. And the Reds hitters.
So the fact he was great in September as well, you're saying we have a trend that now he finished last season strong, started this season strong.
A great start, exactly. And I'm worried about the Reds hitters. They were in Monterrey, Mexico over the weekend. I don't like the sudden change, having to go to foreign country, a little bit of altitude, and then having to go to sea level. Hitters are creatures of habits. They've been thrown out of their patterns. Probably it's going to impact the Reds' opportunities to score runs.
You know, Mr. T said it best.
Have you ever been accused of doing something you didn't do? Well, it happened to me in Mexico City.
So, I mean, you're making a very interesting point, Faz. Now, here's you didn't know I had that one in the back pocket, did you,
John? No, there's all sorts of stuff on
there.
Yeah,
exactly. Go through the closet, baby. Kurt, now this, again, pregame.com research. 7 times in 7 seasons, Kershaw's been at home where he hasn't been over a 160 favorite. Now, it's just gone over 160 here. But just over. In those games where Kershaw was against a very competitive team and a competitive pitcher, the team, the Dodgers, is 2-4. Home team 2-4 in previous 6. Okay, Kershaw 2-3 with 1 decision. So this is just the 7th time. So 6 prior times. So this is rare. And Kershaw, like the playoffs, doesn't tend to step up. So I'm a little scared of the under if I think the ace isn't going to play as well. Fez, we only got 90 seconds. We got 2 NBA games. So let's go through the first one quickly, Nets Sixers.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Brooklyn plus the 8.5. It's all about Embiid, and he does not look right to me.
What percentage, 1 to 100, do you see Embiid being health-wise?
I think he's 50. He shot 5 3-pointers. He's avoiding the paint. He's not going inside.
Okay, so you're leaning Brooklyn. Why not alike?
I hate going against that zigzag, the team
We'll talk about this a lot, guys, during the playoffs. When a team needs a win, they tend to get it in the NBA playoffs. Last game, Fez, Clippers, Golden State.
I like this game. I bet the Clippers plus 13.5. It's all about Golden State tends to let up in the playoffs after blowout wins. So the last 2 years, given that they've won by more than 15 points. 12.
All right, so it was a playoff game. Warriors win by 15 or more. Next game.
Next game, they played 12 times. Only twice have they won by 15 or more in that second game after that blowout win.
Well, that was a little convoluted. You didn't give us the ATS record. You're saying they don't
5-7.
They don't blow out and blow out.
Yeah, they don't get back-to-back big blowouts.
Last thing, when Boogie Cousins was on the floor in game 1, minus 17 point differential for Golden State. So we'll see what happens with Boogie, but he was a detriment in game one. Golden State dominated in every other part of that game.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.